Hello, it's Dr. Jeff with another episode of Talk Healthy Today. This episode, I will welcome another amazingly knowledgeable guest from our health and nutrition field. Practitioner Cheryl Myers is here today, so you do not want to miss this episode. Better Nutrition presents Talk Healthy Today, brought to you by Europharma. Visit them at EuropharmaUSA.com.
Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
Cancer. Well, for most people, it's a word that has become all too familiar. Likely you know someone who has been diagnosed with some form of the disease, or perhaps you have waged a personal battle against the big C. But the news isn't all grim. Naturopath Cheryl Myers will join me today with an enlightening discussion of all natural ways to lower your risk of cancer, from smart dietary choices to adopting healthy habits to the best supplements. When it comes to cancer, there are no guarantees, but being proactive about prevention may just give you the edge you need. Cheryl Myers is an author, practitioner, and an expert on integrative health and natural medicine. She is a nationally recognized speaker who has been interviewed by the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and Prevention Magazine. Her many articles have been published in such diverse journals as Aesthetic Surgery Journal and Nutrition and Complementary Care. And her research on botanicals has been presented at the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology and the North American Menopause Society. She is a well-known advocate for bridging the worlds of mainstream and natural medicine. A graduate of Purdue University, Ms. Myers has been clinically certified in oncology and gerontology, has an additional degree in psychology, focusing on physiological brain function, and is the head of scientific affairs and education for Europharma. I want to welcome my guest today, Cheryl Myers. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, thank you so much for inviting me.
Isn't this a topic that has got most of us kind of tied in knots, I think.
Oh, I believe so. You know, there's not much more of a fear diagnosis than cancer. People have had personal experiences with cancer or family members or friends. It's a disease that can strike the young. It can take people out when it seems like it's their prime of life. It can change the way your body looks. It can change the way your brain works. It just is something that I think is really, really frightening to most people. Now, nobody wants to have a heart attack, but when you talk about heart disease, people just don't seem to have that level of fear and dread that when you talk about cancer.
You know, it's interesting to me sometimes, because we see people that are in genetic lines where cancer has been very visible, and then we see other families where it's not visible at all, and all of a sudden someone will be diagnosed with cancer. Or we'll see five siblings and two of them with cancer, but the other three perfectly healthy. Kind of gets hard to point the finger these days. Do we point it at environment? Do we point it at genetics? Do we point it at lifestyle habits? Do we point it at things we can't control? Or do we point it at things we should be controlling?
I think that some of the recent research, well, first let me say, nobody has all the answers. I wish that they did. Cancer is an incredibly complex process where our body's own cells are damaged in such a way that they start to overcreate, and the fact that they spread and expand and don't know when to stop growing can take our lives. So some cancers grow quickly, some cancers grow slowly, some move to other parts of the body more easily, some tend to stay put. Many doctors don't even like to refer to cancer as one disease. They say it's actually many diseases. And each disease manifests itself differently in different individuals, which is one of the reasons why it's so incredibly difficult to treat, incredibly difficult to cure. I think that most researchers would agree now that the genetic impact is not as strong as what was once previously thought. Actual mutated or damaged genes are limited to about 3-4% of people who develop cancer. And the other factors that cause cancer, so that would be about upwards of 95-96% are controllable lifestyle or controllable health factors. So I think that we don't have to be fearful. Even if we have a family with a genetic predisposition for cancer, we don't have to be as fearful. There are so many tools we have in our toolbox to help us stay healthy and to help us avoid developing this disease. And if we do develop this disease, to help avoid a recurrence and to try to get our most optimal shot for a long and healthy life.
You know, the first thing most people will ask is, what should I eat and what kind of a diet should I be on? Because I think that obviously that's something we're going to be doing for the rest of our life. It is something we do every single day. It is something that we must do every day. So if we were doing it a little better, that would be a great place to start with food.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And our foods have changed so much. And the food companies, unfortunately, because they are commercial enterprises, want to make money. And so they have continued to try to construct food that costs less and less money to make, but tastes better and better. So it manipulates the flavors of foods to make us crave them. So we have, like chips in our diet, and specially flavored chips. And we have certain types of candy and cookies and cakes and things that are just have not in the past been very available, but now suddenly are quite affordable. In fact, unfortunately, some of these refined carbohydrate foods with high fructose corn syrup and God knows how many preservatives are easier and cheaper to buy than raw broccoli and Honeycrisp apples. So I think that the metamorphosis of our food and a little bit of the brainwashing that went along with that, with encouraging people, like, can you believe when I was a kid, that sugary cereals were considered part of a healthy breakfast.
I remember.
You remember that? You know,
yes,
I mean, artificial colors, like 10 different artificial colors and fruity kinds of sugary cereals and all kinds of nasty stuff in there. But it's, it's for breakfast, so it's not candy, right? But we should give it to our children every single day. So there's been some manipulation of our food and our diet that has not had very good consequences for us. We've made huge inroads into reducing heart disease risk. When we look at the number of people dying of heart disease in 2016 versus 50 or 100 years ago, we've made huge inroads in controlling infectious diseases. People used to die of pneumonia when they were 18 years old. That doesn't happen very much anymore. But one disease we've had made no progress against whatsoever, cancer. It's just what we've been doing just has not been working. So yes, absolutely. Part of the answer is to get a lot of these refined carbohydrates and sugars out of our diet, ratchet that way down, and start incorporating more fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, fresh produce. You know how they always say shop the periphery of the grocery store instead of the center aisles. The more that we can do that, the healthier we're going to be long term, and the healthier our children are going to be.
Now, a lot of people today are becoming more nutritionally, if you will, oriented, and they're going into health food stores. One thing we do have in our industry is lots and lots of people that are very passionate. You'll find great brick and mortar stores around the country and stores that have people that are just above and beyond knowledgeable. They've gone back to school and they have so much information. But when you walk into a health food store, obviously when people are thinking about getting healthy, they want to prevent things like, memory fog and Alzheimer's. They want to slow down the aging process. But a lot of people really do want to keep their immune system stronger. And many of them know someone or is in a family with someone or has a neighbor or a coworker who has been troubled by cancer. And it's very, very scary. So when they decide to get healthy, there's one of their main questions is, what kind of supplementation can I take to make me stronger?
Well, one of the things that I think is, aside from lifestyle and getting some more activity and voting your conscience, if somebody's trying to put a toxic waste dump in your backyard, get out and make noise about it. Trying to be more vigorously aware of what's going on in the world around you, I think also plays a role in reducing cancer. But from a supplement standpoint, there's a group of compounds found in a variety of fruits and vegetables called polyphenols. And not all polyphenols are created equal. But herbs that are very high in polyphenols generally are the ones that have the best, most highly efficacious activity against the damage that creates cancer cells in the first place, and also play a role in helping the body rid itself of cancer, even if a few cancer cells do get developed because of some cellular damage. So some of the ones that have the largest amount and the most powerful polyphenols are things like grapeseed extract. Green tea extract has a lot of polyphenols. And my personal favorite, curcumin, has a tremendous amount of polyphenol and other compounds that have direct anti-cancer activity.
Now, if you are going in to start getting healthy and start this preparation for your immune system and, being more preventive, my question comes in is, when do we start? Do we start when we're a high-stress 40-year-old? Do we stress when we start having weakening of the immune system? Do we today, in a different world, start at a younger age? When should people become aware of their true health and the road that they're going down?
You know, I jokingly say, and maybe it isn't really jokingly, that when kids graduate from high school, they should be handed a bottle of curcumin as the best graduation gift you could ever give them. If they start on at 18, I swear, we would add a solid 10 years onto the lifespan and probably prevent a lot of problems down the road. So it's never too early to start, but it's never too late to start either. There have been studies that have looked at the activity, for example, of curcumin, which probably, I'm guessing, may have the most cancer studies. Green tea is probably right up there with it. But when we look at curcumin's anti-cancer activity, we find it's not just about prevention, it's also about prevention of recurrence. You know, when people get treatment for cancer, cancer leaves behind cells that are called cancer stem cells, and they sort of masquerade as normal cells, and they avoid, if people are getting radiation therapy or chemotherapy, they somehow manage to dodge that. And then a year later or 5 years later or 10 years later, they wake up again and start back with their devious ways and start replicating. And so you get a recurrence of that original cancer, sometimes in the original location somewhere, sometimes elsewhere in the body. And what they found is that curcumin has the ability to kill cancer stem cells. So when you are using chemotherapy, if you're using curcumin along with it, you're going to get more destruction of those cancer stem cells than if you tried to use chemotherapy alone. So as we learn more and more about what causes cancer to come back, you know, people almost never die of their primary cancer. It's when cancer comes back and starts to move to other locations within the body, that's when it becomes life-threatening. So what if we could stop that at the source? Wouldn't that be just a tremendous boon to our health? And last but not least, even individuals who have what they call metastatic disease, which means it's already moved and become well-established in every other area of the body, and maybe a cure is no longer an option. Well, long-term maintenance may well be an option. And even at that stage, curcumin plays a role in slowing down cancer cell growth. So they've shown this time and again in various published studies. So I think that with regards to cancer, it would be a perfect world if we all started on these healthy compounds and healthy diets early in life to avoid problems later on. But at the same time, we know that that's not a reality for most people. We're going to be intervening when they start to have problems, and that's where these more concentrated supplements can play such an important role in their overall health plan.
Now, tools are things that I like to talk about, and we've mentioned a lot of them, diet and sleep and, of course, water and exercise and supplementation. These all add together to a better chance of being successful, true?
Absolutely. There was even a study on breast cancer patients, and they age and gender matched breast cancer patients, and they also matched them for severity of disease to try to cut out complicating factors. And they looked at women who just chose to go to a support group versus women who didn't want to go to a support group. And the women who chose going to a support group had much higher risk of long-term survival than the women who chose not to. Now, there's a lot of theories about why this is, that the women that went to the support group got the mutual support of other women that had been through the same disease process, and so maybe emotionally they were better cared for. It may also be that their stress was reduced by being able to talk about their problems with their cancer with people that understood. So it might be a stress reduction, and when you ever reduce stress, you reduce the extraordinary demands that stress places on the adrenal glands. So maybe that was the role. Some people felt that because they were attending a support group that maybe they were more educated because people who had already been through breast cancer gave them tips and ideas on how to stay healthy. So they're not 100% sure about why the difference was, but they were actually shocked at the volume of women that were better survivors if they were the ones in the group that had chosen to go to breast cancer mutual support group. So when we talk about the psychological factors, some people used to think this was airy-fairy nonsense, you know, that it was kind of voodoo, oh yeah, reduce your stress and avoid cancer. Well, now some very reputable scientists are taking that totally seriously, that your psychological outlook and the level of stress in your life and whether you're a pessimist or an optimist can play a role in long-term survival.
Want to see what's coming up on the show? Like our Facebook page or follow us on Instagram or Twitter and let us know what your favorite healthy habit is, then listen in. You might just hear it here, mentioned on the show. Walking into most health food stores that can boggle the brain. Faced with shelf after shelf of supplements, how do you know what to choose? Better Nutrition can help. Better Nutrition is the healthy shopping magazine packed with useful information on a variety of health topics as well as deliciously healthy recipes and good-for-you lifestyle tips. Every issue will help you stay up to date on the best products and advice for optimal wellness. Pick up yourself a copy of Better Nutrition at fine health food stores near you today. You know, Cheryl, information, I know that you are such a staunch advocate of information because with confusion today, a lot of people are reading and hearing these things. They may hear a word and then just kind of run with it and not really follow up because they see the word on a bottle, but quality and integrity. It is better today, if you're going to plan on being healthy, to ask questions and, you know, visit web pages like EuropharmaUSA.com where you can get information and see what quality is all about because, you know, integrity doesn't run at the same level through all supplementations. You know, we have to find the best of the best and then take the time to choose wisely.
I couldn't agree with you more. As I said, you know, a perfect example is curcumin, which can be, in my opinion, life-saving for some individuals, definitely life-changing and maybe even life-saving. Well, there's companies out there that, you know, when they talk about are selling turmeric in bottles, so it's 1,000 milligrams a capsule, and they put all over it, it contains curcumin, as seen on Dr. Oz. This can make a huge difference in your life. And then they sell it on the Internet for $9.99, and people take it and don't understand that because there's so little curcumin in turmeric that it takes 1,000 milligrams to deliver 20 milligrams of curcumin, and that's just not going to make a medical difference for people. The studies start at 1,000 milligrams a day, and that's of enhanced absorption curcumin, and go upwards from that. So when that's one of the biggest things I say out there with education is it's important to know what you're putting in your body. If somebody wants to cut corners and make a cheaper tennis shoe, well, okay, if you're disappointed with the shoe, you can go get another shoe. But this is something that you put in your body. This is something you're using for your health. If it's disappointing or you find out 2 or 3 or 4 years later that it's not all that it was cracked up to be, it's a little bit too late then to turn back the clock and get connected with something that's perhaps more medicinal for you.
Let me ask you a question. If you have chosen, and let's say you are a cancer patient, you're working with your radiologist or your oncologist, and you're going through a therapy that they have decided is going to be effective for this specific cancer that you're dealing with, and you've chosen wisely, and people that are very integrative and they understand the whole body, do you think that at that point in time, even though going through a specific therapy, that nutrition still plays a role?
I think nutrition always plays a role. Mm-hmm. Our bodies are made of what we eat, and people forget that. And, you know, crap in, crap out. I mean, if you're going to not choose the healthier foods to try to rebuild your body's not going to have the tools it needs to stay healthy. So I'm not saying that I'm not a nutrition Nazi. I'm always saying there's room for your favorite foods. If you want to have a piece of chocolate, have a piece of chocolate if there's something that you like. But if you can get 80% of your diet back into the good zone, into the green zone, I think that you're doing better than 90% of the American public and that you're going to see tremendous health benefits at any stage.
I agree. And I see people all the time that are going through different kinds of therapy and they just look so awful. And I'll just talk to them. I said, are you eating well? And they're like, well, you know, I'm drinking this little drink and, you know, I'm trying to eat this. And I said, why aren't you eating? Didn't you used to eat a lot of salads and fish and all of that? And they're like, well, I didn't want the diet to interfere with the therapy. And I'm like, well, you got to build your body. You've got to build good nutrition or you're not going to be strong enough to be able to persevere the therapy.
You know, that's absolutely true. And this would probably be a good place for me to say that when I talk about some of these studies that have been done with dietary supplements and chemotherapy and radiation therapy, make sure every person is an individual, and the best health outcomes occur when your doctor's in the loop. So, you know, a lot of doctors have concerns about incorporating supplements because they're afraid that the supplements will interfere with the activity of the chemotherapy or of the radiation therapy, and that's why it's so important to do your homework and to get connected with companies that can provide you with the research for you to share with your doctor and say, you know, I know you're worried about antioxidants might protect the cancer cells, but here's the studies on curcumin that show that curcumin actually makes chemotherapy more effective or helps to prevent recurrence by its ability to cause the chemotherapy to be more effective in killing stem cells. Here's the study on using, for example, curcumin with radiation therapy where people had more positive outcomes. I think that we need to be our own best advocates because our doctors don't always know everything out there in the dietary supplement world that can make such a tremendous difference. And when you work with companies that do their homework or who market and sell a lot of products that have been themselves clinically studied in prestigious research institutions, it's a lot easier to share that information with your doctor and make sure that it's the right choice for you. But absolutely, using supplements, if you choose to have chemotherapy, radiation therapy, surgery, whatever the case may be, incorporating a supplement regimen may be incredibly beneficial for you. And absolutely, a healthy diet is necessary.
You know, I think the biggest picture is the fear. You know, I think the fear comes over. You know, I've never seen a letter of the alphabet or a word be so scary to us. You know, the sentence, the big C, or the mm-hmm. cancer in general, it can take the strongest person and make them go into a fetal position. It's such a terrible, terrible stigma that goes with it. And mm-hmm. I just feel that we automatically feel we have absolutely not a drip of control.
I couldn't agree with you more. And another word about the stigma is that I've known individuals who have come to me for ideas about ways to augment their cancer therapies to work with their oncologists, and they are adamant about keeping their cancer diagnosis a complete secret from anybody they work with because they're afraid they're going to be fired, that people are going to assume that if they have cancer, they can't be a good employee anymore or whatever the case may be. So, I mean, there is a tremendous amount of stigma associated with cancer, and we don't always treat people fairly who are at the point when they need our support the most.
I agree 100%. You know, I think about it sometimes, the United States, you know, is having such a high level of these autoimmune diseases. And I sometimes am asked, is it the same way around the world, or are we sitting at the top of the pyramid in this?
Well, when we look at cancer, there's very few places in the world that has higher cancer rate than the United States. We are, and it's growing. Australia has some very high cancer rates. But one of the reasons cancer has such incredibly high cancer rates is because of skin cancer. The ozone, the hole in the ozone layer that we heard so much about back in the 70s and 80s, well, it's still there. And it's so that we don't have as much of protection in Australia from ultraviolet radiation. So people are a little bit more prone to various kinds of skin cancers there, which drives up their numbers. But it's a sad instance that the countries that have that, like the United States, and has some of the best health care on the planet, also has some of the highest cancer rates. And it's mostly diet, I think, and industrial exposure and lifestyle problems. For example, people from Japan who have an extremely low rate of cancer, especially in coastal Japan, who are eating a traditional diet, move to the United States and start eating the traditional American diet, mm-hmm. living the traditional American lifestyle, have their rates very soon. Their cancer risk runs very soon, the same as anybody else who lives in the United States. So some people used to think, well, maybe people with Japanese are more resistant to cancer, or, you know, maybe people from India are more resistant to cancer because there's a lot less cancer in India. But the truth of the matter is if you adopt our lifestyle is a very cancer-promoting lifestyle. When you couple in the exposure, the industrial exposure, and the chemicals in our environment, and in our furniture, and in our carpet, and in our woodwork, the frankenfoods that we're exposed to sometimes when we don't even know it, and lack of activity because most of the jobs have moved indoors and to a desk, then you can just see that we've created a really nice environment for abnormal cellular growth.
You know, and I think most of us don't think about prevention. We think about what do we do at the time of diagnostic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and there's so much more we could do for prevention. You know, I really like the cellular studies on using curcumin with chemotherapy is a form called BCM95 curcumin that blends the curcumin with turmeric essential oil. Mm-hmm. And those two together, they found, gives a broader spectrum of coverage and a broader spectrum of activity because not only is it better absorbed, but the turmeric essential oil provides certain anti-cancer compounds called AR turmerones that themselves independently have a real strong role to play. So I think it's important to look at What kind of studies are there on whatever supplement you're choosing to use to augment your cancer care? Make sure you discuss it with your doctor. Try to get all the facts together and come up with a plan of care that works for you. And that also includes maybe you'd want to meet with an integrative dietitian to talk about, or a naturopathic physician or someone in the natural field that's used to blending dietary changes with helping to support people in the different stages of disease process. Talk to them about how to eat healthy and what kinds of changes you can make in your diet to sustain this very difficult disease.
I want to thank my guest today, Cheryl Myers, for being with us. Some recommendations of books, Anti-Cancer, A New Way of Life by David Servan Schreiber. Also, The Definitive Guide to Cancer, 3rd Edition, An Integrative Approach to Prevention, Treatment, and Healing by Lise Alschuler and Carolyn Gazella. Of course, you want to visit EuropharmaUSA.com for great information. I want to thank you all. This is Dr. Jeffrey Burke. And this is the Talk Healthy Today show on Radio MD, brought to you by Europharma. Visit them at europharmausa.com for more information on this and all of my show segments. Remember to go to my radio show page at radiomd.com. Look for the Talk Healthy Today show for the on-demand podcast of the shows available at radiomd.com. Thank you for listening. Stay well.